What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Lou DiBiase here joining you on this Monday edition of the show. The Eagles, a big win yesterday, 24-18 against the Jacksonville Jaguars to get to 4-4 as they head into the bye week. So at 4-4 now, it looks like the Eagles might be buyers in tomorrow's NFL trade deadline. That's right, the trade deadline tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So it's Trader Howie time. It's Howie season, and we are all for it right now. With a big win yesterday, I think this Eagles team should be buyers. Myself and Gino Camilleri, we talked about that. We got deep inside the trade deadline talk yesterday, along with our recap of the game. We got into a lot of good stuff on yesterday's podcast, so if you missed the recap of the Jaguars game, as well as a little hint of a preview at the trade deadline, as we get more into that today and tomorrow, we'll be covering it all day tomorrow until the Eagles either do or don't make a trade before that 4 o'clock deadline. But if you missed the recap yesterday, you can check that out on LockedOnEagles.com or on the podcast feed, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. Anywhere that you listen to podcasts, we will be up and available on those platforms. So go back and check that out. Me and Gino were really hyped. So that was a big win for the Eagles. And it makes tonight a lot more fun with the Bills playing the Patriots, with LeSean McCoy playing tonight. Someone to keep a close eye on. Maybe the Bills are going to audition McCoy tonight and really showcase him to some other teams, including the Philadelphia Eagles. It makes tomorrow more fun because if the Eagles are sitting here at 3-5, you know, we might not be talking about the Eagles buying at all. Maybe they're looking to sell Ronald Darby or looking to sell Nick Foles or anybody, and we might not be talking about what they can do to continue this playoff run. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, is more NFL trade deadline talk. And again, it's Trader Howie time. This is, you know, he's been calling about a ton of players. You just, the way Howie Roseman is, how aggressive he is in the second tenure as the Eagles general manager. He really is the guy that has started the new trade era in the NFL. You see so much aggressive mindset with GMs now that you didn't see before, and I think a lot of it is because of Howie. He's been more willing to give up draft picks for talented players right now and being more innovative with how he makes trades, you know, just to get Carson Wentz moving up from pick 13 to pick 8 and then to pick 2. So Howie Roseman has really kind of been a big part of the startup of what is now almost the trade era of the NFL, kind of matching the NBA and the NHL and what they do with trades, and especially on the trade deadline. I remember growing up, I used to skip school every single year at the NHL trade deadline because there was just so much chaos. And just gear up. I think it's going to be like that tomorrow. And how, by the way, Doug Peterson, he was on Sports Radio 94 WIP this morning, and what he said about the trade deadline, quote, "We're always looking to better our roster and add talent and depth if we can. All I can say is stay tuned. We'll see what happens." So and Jay Glazer reported too that this could be a crazy trade deadline, something that we've never seen before in the NFL. I'm getting ready tomorrow. I'm going to be gluing myself right in front of the computer on Twitter, staying in touch with what's going on, and be prepared for an emergency podcast tomorrow. When the Eagles make a move, myself and Gino Camilleri, we will get the recap, we will get our reactions on Locked On Eagles, so just make sure you tune in, follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Birds, and at Locked On Eagles. But, you know, Doug Peterson today, he was kind of hinting at a lot of potential trades with the Eagles. He didn't say anything significant, but, you know, detailed-wise, he didn't really hint at what they might be looking for, if they have been talking with different teams. But, you know, again, that thing saying stay tuned, you know, you're not just saying that if they've called about maybe J.J. Nelson of the Cardinals, right? Or they haven't really seriously considered going in and making a legitimate trade of real weight to help this Eagles offense or defense. So he did say that on the radio. So maybe let's prepare for a big fish. Maybe let's prepare for Le'Veon Bell or LeSean McCoy or a reunion with DeSean Jackson, who, by the way, broke Jerry Rice's 60-plus yard touchdowns record yesterday. So congrats to my favorite Eagle of all time, DeSean Jackson, rocking his jersey right now. Hopefully, I would love it if he came back to Philadelphia. I think he would be a big boost to this Eagles offense, getting that deep threat. So maybe there's a big fish, but either way, I think Howie's going to do something. And to me, if you ask me, I think it might be on the offensive side of the football. Today, in Doug Peterson's press conference, after that radio interview with Angelo Cataldi, Doug Peterson was asked what he would look for in a player that is traded to the Eagles on the trade deadline. And, you know, he talked about character and fitting with the team and the teammates and, you know, the same typical coach speak. But then he also mentioned being a right fit for the offense. And I thought that was interesting because I don't think the question was, what do you see, what do you want in a offensive player that is traded to your team at the trade deadline? He mentioned offense by himself. I'm wondering if he let that slip out by accident, and he knows that the Eagles are talking to other teams about offensive players. When you see all the rumors, it's really what the Eagles have been linked to outside of the Patrick Peterson rumors last week, but with Peterson's statement about staying with the Cardinals, I doubt we're going to get a Patrick Peterson trade to Philadelphia. But he talked about offense today. He is the one that brought up offense, and I'm pretty sure, listening to that press conference, that no one asked him specifically about what you want in an offensive player traded to the Eagles. It was just a player in general. So maybe Doug let that slip, and maybe Howie Roseman right now is calling about potential running backs or wide receivers. And I think that's the positions that he should go for, considering I like the options the Eagles have in the secondary right now. I mean, I'd be okay with them going for an interior defensive lineman or another edge rusher. And we'll get into some potential candidates to look out for later on in the show. But I think Doug Peterson knows something, and I thought he let a couple interesting quotes out there that maybe he, now looking back at it, wishes he didn't say. It wasn't, again, anything of real context, but he said some interesting things. He mentioned the offense, which he didn't have to, and he said, you know, to stay tuned. And those are both things that are going to keep us glued. And with Howie Roseman as the GM, if this would be a different story if, you know, again, if they were 3-5 or if it was a different front office that was running this team. But with how aggressive this Eagles team is and with them being 4-4 and with everything being in front of them with four divisional opponents in the next 5 weeks after the bye week, this is the time to be buyers and to get into the playoffs. With how good Carson Wentz is playing, you want to take advantage of this window. You know, you don't want to say, let's just keep on, you know, chugging along with the team we have now. Although I think this team they have now right now could go all the way when they get healthy. But I don't think this is the type of season still, even though they're struggling at 4-4. This isn't the season to just be like, let's keep all of our draft picks and we'll just keep looking towards the future. I think this is still a season that can make a deep run into the playoffs, maybe deep into the playoffs. Even at 4-4 with the division, I know Washington's 5-2 right now, but they really don't scare me. There's no one in the NFC that really scares me outside of the Rams and the Saints, and those are going to be the top two seeds, and that's not really what this season's going to be about now. So with how good and with how good Carson Wentz is playing, you got to still take advantage of this season, and with how good he is, if you add him a running back or a receiver of Le'Veon Bell's ability or LeSean McCoy or DeSean Jackson or maybe Golden Tate, that's a huge boost to this Eagles team that, look, you have four divisional opponents in your next five games, and you have another one with the Saints at the Superdome. If you rip off four of the next five and you go on another run like you did last year, that puts you in prime position to make another run in 2018. So I'm all in on it. Doug Peterson sounds like he expects the Eagles to at least be talking with other teams, and they already have to be calling around. You see all the rumors, and the Eagles, look, teams let these rumors get out a lot of the time. Not every source is within the team, but a lot of them are straight from general managers trying to leak stuff out to garner, you know, attention and interest from other teams, and for leverage purposes as well, to say, look, we're not interested in trading LeSean McCoy, and maybe that really is just because the offers you've gotten right now aren't great. So maybe that makes teams pony up a little bit more. So, look, I am so excited for this. I'm ready for tomorrow to be absolutely chaotic, and I really hope the Eagles make a move. And will it be someone like LeSean McCoy, like Le'Veon Bell? That's what we're going to talk about next. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. We're going to get into the Le'Veon Bell situation. Jason Lockenfora says the Steelers are still hoping the Eagles call back and continue to trade talk like they have been, apparently, over the past month. So we're going to get into all the details of what that would entail with the Eagles trying to trade for, say, Le'Veon Bell. So that's coming up next, right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, sponsored by MyBookie. Guys, lay down some cash and win big on MyBookie today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way over to MyBookie. You win, and they pay. They got in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, and visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase here, a hyped Louis DiBiase, as the NFL trade deadline, I almost said NHL, because that's the feeling I'm getting right now with this NFL trade deadline. I'm feeling excited. You're seeing rumors of Odell Beckham was in talks. The Patriots are looking to get a big-time receiver. The Eagles look to be trying to get a big offensive player to help Carson. I'm really thinking that tomorrow could be a lot of fun, especially we'll see what happens with today's Bills-Patriots Monday Night Football game that's about to get underway in a couple minutes. Whenever you're listening to this podcast, you might already know how it happened there. But with the Eagles watch guide that I gave you guys yesterday on the podcast, it turned out pretty good for us. So the Bengals beat Tampa Bay, which is big because if you're someone that wants DeSean Jackson to come back, the Buccaneers right now at 3-4. They might be a little more willing to deal DeSean, who requested a trade yesterday. So that worked out today. We also need the Patriots to really handle the Buffalo Bills right now, because if the Bills were to somehow upset the Patriots, I really think Sean McDermott, who loves, I mean, he said last week, you have to run the football in Buffalo, which is, to me, crazy. And it's just stupid. Anyone that makes the weather things, I can't believe coaches still think that you should be building a roster with any influence of the weather involved. I just think that's absolutely nuts. But that's how Sean McDermott is, and if the Bills win today, I don't think LeSean McCoy is going anywhere. So we need the Patriots as well to take down Buffalo if you're someone that wants LeSean McCoy. But the big, big fish right now that the Steelers still apparently are willing to move is Le'Veon Bell, and the Eagles have been the main team that's been linked with Le'Veon Bell over the past month and a half. And it's still going to be going until tomorrow at 4 o'clock, or when the Eagles say they do trade for LeSean McCoy or Jordan Howard, or say they just make a smaller move and pick up an Ameer Abdullah, right? Or I don't know if Jacksonville would want to move TJ Yeldon, even since they have Carlos Hyde and Leonard Fournette coming back. I don't know. Just say they make a move at running back, or they trade for a wide receiver like Robbie Anderson or JJ Nelson, and they don't go in for another offensive player like Le'Veon Bell. Then we can know that it's really dead. But until then, Le'Veon Bell and the Eagles is going to be something that is linked together until tomorrow afternoon. Let me break this down for you guys, really, the Le'Veon Bell situation and how this trade would have to be, some positives and negatives of it, because it is pretty complex. With Le'Veon Bell holding out since he hasn't signed his franchise tag, it's not just Le'Veon Bell is playing under his final year of his contract, and then next year he's going to be a free agent. Since he's not playing, and what his intentions are, we don't know, and that makes a trade really complicated, and it's something that Howie Roseman obviously is, I'm sure, figuring out all the impactful, you know, scenarios with a Le'Veon Bell trade. He's got to know all this stuff and what a trade would entail, and I'm sure he does, and I drew it out for you here for the podcast. So what needs to happen for Le'Veon Bell is he needs to sign his franchise tag, obviously. He's got to sign that tag for him to play with the Steelers or anybody that trades for him. And not only that, but he has to sign that franchise tag by the Tuesday after Week 10, or the contract tolls over, where the Steelers, or a team that, say, trades for his rights, can tag him again at the same price next year, and then he won't get to choose where he goes. And that's really why Le'Veon Bell is holding out right now. It's all about, you know, player freedom and player leverage, and he's trying to make it where players, and not only players but really running backs, can be treated kind of like NBA players do in contract negotiations. And it's not helping right now that James Conner is playing so well, but someone's still going to pay him big money next year, but not if he doesn't come back by Week 10. So that's the interesting part here, is if he wants to have that player freedom next season, he's got to come back by at least Week 10. So Kevin Massari of Locked On Bills, shout out to him. He figured this all out for me and explained it, because it's confusing. It's a complex situation with the contract and with Le'Veon Bell holding out. If a potential trade were to happen, what would need to happen for the Eagles to and make it worth the Eagles' while to trade a pick for Le'Veon Bell. So shout out to Kevin for, you know, really breaking this down. A team can still trade for his rights even if he doesn't pay or if he doesn't sign the franchise tag. So they can still trade for his rights. But unless you can convince him to play for you, he might just end up staying away until that final day of the deadline so he doesn't get traded, right? Because a team might not be willing to take a risk. It's a big risk versus reward decision, and with the Eagles at 4-4 rather than maybe, say, 6-2, say they stop those two fourth down plays against Tennessee and Carolina and you're 6-2, might make things a little bit more interesting. They might be more willing to take a risk on Le'Veon Bell not coming back by maybe, say, week 11, because that's what we're looking at here, is that Le'Veon might just wait until that final day to report, so then not only does he get to choose where he goes next year, but he also doesn't get moved this year, and he doesn't have to get traded and play for a brand new team. So let's break down the positives and the negatives of a potential Le'Veon Bell trade. So the positives. One, obviously, you got to try to get him to come back before week 10, especially for the Eagles, considering the record that they're at. You got to try to get him to come back, and because if you don't, he's not coming back until week 11. And with the Eagles at 4-4, that's tough to make a deadline move for a guy that's not going to play up until maybe week 11. But he did. This is the good part of it, is why a Le'Veon Bell trade to me is not dead for the Eagles. He mentioned the Eagles as a team interested in him. So he did say the Eagles have interest in him, and he clearly knows that. So, and it'd be hard to imagine Le'Veon would not have interest in playing with the Eagles, with an elite quarterback in Carson Wentz, with a great play caller in Doug Peterson. Deuce Staley is a great running back coach that a lot of running backs want to play for and gain respect for. You saw how he handled Jay Ajayi last year, and LeGarrette Blount and LeSean McCoy loved him, and he's been here for so long because he's such a respected coach. So it would make sense for him to want to play in Philadelphia, a big market, a team that's just won the Super Bowl that's going to be really good. So that's a good part, is he might want to come back before that Week 11 deadline. You know, after week 10, he wouldn't play till week 11, week 12. But if he gets traded to the Eagles, maybe the Eagles can convince him to come back before that. And the Eagles, look, they can't talk to him about money, but they could talk to him about playing time. And I think that's huge here, because a big part of why Le'Veon Bell is holding out is because of the injury risk. If he gets hurt like Earl Thomas did, Earl Thomas came back. He didn't hold out the entire season like Le'Veon has for Seattle. And Earl Thomas, he's out for the season now with a leg injury. And that's huge for his contract negotiations next year when he becomes a free agent. So there's that injury risk thing. But if the Eagles can talk to him and say, you know, look, we like what we have in Corey Clement and Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood, and we're not going to just pound you up the middle every single time. We're going to use you in creative ways in the slot. And they do a lot of outside runs, and, you know, Carson Wentz is going to throw the football a lot still. You're still going to be a complement to the passing game, and we're not going to just, you know, use and abuse your body. And then next year, you might get injured before next year's free agent market. And that's huge for Le'Veon, because, again, with running backs, you only really get another, after your rookie deal, maybe one big contract, depending on how good you are. With Le'Veon Bell, he is elite, but if he gets hurt at 26 years old, he's not going to get the money that, say, Todd Gurley did. So the Eagles can talk to him about that. That's a huge part of this, too, is maybe they, if they trade for him, they can, because you are just trading for his rights, trading to the rights to talk to him, you maybe can convince him that, look, we're not going to run you into the ground. So that's something that's interesting, too. And to me, I'm still all in on a Le'Veon Bell trade, because he's going to come back. That's the thing. If he doesn't come back, he loses his free agency next year. And the Eagles, or say if the Eagles trade for him, or the Steelers hold on to him, they can just tag him again, and he has to do it all over again, and maybe the Eagles or whoever trades for him could be looking to shop him. So Le'Veon's got to come back by at least that Week 11 deadline, or else, I mean, there's no way he's going to hold out the entire season and then let the Steelers or another team tag him, and then they just do it all over again. He either gets traded again and doesn't get to choose where he wants to go, or they hold on to him, and he doesn't play. It's not an option for Le'Veon. He's got to come back this year by that deadline so he can get that big contract next year that he's holding out for. So it'll only take a third-round pick, because the Steelers have James Conner, and are you going to come back to that locker room? The way that they talked about how they weren't happy with Le'Veon Bell handling the holdout? The Steelers players were not, especially the offensive line, were not happy with Le'Veon. So I don't know if the Steelers aren't going to be asking for a first-round pick. They're going to be asking for maybe a second-round pick. Maybe a third gets it done, though. Anything lower wouldn't make sense for the Steelers because they can just get that back in the compensatory pick next year. But it doesn't make sense for Le'Veon, too. You would think he would want to be on another team because with the Steelers, they're probably very open to trading him on a reasonable price for the Eagles and not totally fleece them because James Conner has been amazing this year. People are saying he's actually going to hurt Le'Veon Bell's money next year. With how good he was, other teams might see that and be like, why are we going to pay Le'Veon Bell big, big money? So with James Conner playing really good, and with the potential locker room situation that you might cause by bringing Le'Veon Bell back, the Steelers might want to wash their hands with that situation. And if I'm Le'Veon Bell, I mean, it might be perfect for him to come back to Pittsburgh because James Conner is playing good, and he knows he wouldn't have to be the bell cow, which preserves his health, and then he goes away. But for the Steelers, it would make sense for the Steelers to want to get rid of that. I mean, he's a great player, an elite player, but it would make sense for them to want to get rid of that issue with what is a winning team right now. So I'm all in on it. I'm all in on Le'Veon coming back or coming to Philadelphia. I'll take him, look, even on a rental. Again, I think he's going to come back, and even if it's not until the deadline, I would still be okay. I'd be really okay with, I mean, I understand the risks and I would understand why the Eagles don't do it, but if the Eagles trade a second or third round pick for Le'Veon Bell and he still doesn't come back till week 11, I mean, you still potentially have 5 weeks of Le'Veon in the regular season, five games, and then you get the playoffs potentially. And you hope that you can, by that time, try to convince him to re-sign with you, and if not, you're the one that gets the compensatory pick back. So I'm there. Look, all of this, it's very difficult. You would understand why a GM wouldn't want to take all this risk, especially considering he has a $7 million cap hit this year for the remainder of the season on that franchise tag. But to me, there's no doubt that he's coming back this year. And even if it, again, is for 1 month of the regular season and then maybe the playoffs, that to me is still worth it for the Eagles, who do have two second-round picks. To me, I'd be more willing to give up a second or a third. And again, if he doesn't come back at all, you can trade him next year. I mean, it doesn't seem possible, but if he doesn't come back, you have him again. You can franchise tag him, and you're the one now that holds all the power. And I just don't think Le'Veon's a smart guy. I think he understands all that, and there's no way he's going to relinquish a lot of his power and leverage to another team, whether it's Pittsburgh or Philadelphia or anyone else that trades for him. Some negatives to this, though, we do have to talk about why a team like the Eagles would not trade for Le'Veon, is that he might not come back until that week 11 deadline. You know, right after week 10, he has to report by that Tuesday. So if he doesn't come back by then, he might not play until week 11 or week 12. And look, again, I'm happy with it even if the Eagles do it, regardless of that situation. But with Howie Roseman, I understand sitting at 4-4, wanting to have a guy that, you know, the whole purpose of making a trade at the trade deadline is to boost this team and to help them fully put it together and make a playoff run down the stretch. You know, you heard Doug Peterson today. Every game is crucial down the stretch. There's so many tough games that the Eagles have left, and they have four division opponents coming up in the next month. You know, next 5 weeks they go all NFC East teams, and then the Saints the second game after the bye. So I understand them maybe preferring to go get a LeSean McCoy, who also is under contract, or say LeGarrette Blount, say the Lions want to, you know, really unleash Kerryon Johnson. I understand the Eagles maybe want to go with a more familiar face or with a guy that is going to play right now and help them continue to build off that win against the Jaguars and improve on this 4-4 record. Whereas if they were 6-2, that might make Howie Roseman maybe more willing to take that risk of Le'Veon Bell. Because he might not play. You come in, say, by that Tuesday. Say the Eagles trade for him tomorrow, and he still doesn't come back until the Tuesday after week 10. I doubt he plays that Sunday. You know, he's got to learn the offense, and that's not something that's going to come in 3 days of practice. So he's probably not going to play week 11. You get him for week 12. That's already, you know, that's three more games for the Eagles. And who knows? You might, I mean, that's huge right now at 4-4. Three games is big. You drop a couple of those, and you're in a very tight situation. So I would understand with the Eagles being a little bit hesitant in that way. And he may not go all in. That's the thing, too, about this. He might, like, what is his motivation? What is going to be his, I mean, how in on the Eagles is he going to be? How motivated? Because regardless if he's motivated or not, and you pay him, regardless of if he shows up, you still have to pay him. That $7 million, that's a big cap hit for a guy that, I don't know, James Harrison said what he should do is come back and then fake an injury. I'm not saying Le'Veon's going to do that, but that's a risk that you have to be willing to take. With maybe he's not, I don't think he's going to fake an injury, but he might not be all in for you. You know, we don't need another DeMarco Murray sliding, you know, after he gets past the first down marker instead of fighting for more. I want Carson Wentz to do that. I don't want my running back to do that. So that's another thing you have to take into account, too, is how motivated is Le'Veon Bell going to be this year? Can you incentivize it a little bit more with playing time incentives during the playoffs? That's something that Mike Florio brought up. Is there ways to sweeten the pot for Le'Veon? Because that's a negative to this as well, as if you trade for him, how in on it is he going to be? Because it doesn't matter how in on it he is. If you trade for him, regardless of his effort, you're going to have to pay that $7 million on the cap. So that's something you have to take into account as well, is how willing is he going to be to go all in for you? The good thing is, again, the positives, he did mention the Eagles. They could talk to him about, you know, reassure him, we're not going to run you into the ground. And if the Eagles are a good team, you know, they're a championship team. They are still, even at 4-4, they are the defending Super Bowl champions. You got to hope that all those factors might convince Le'Veon to come back sooner. And even if he doesn't, if the Eagles are, say, you know, a couple games over 500 and Le'Veon comes back, you're going to think he's going to want to be a part of that another potential championship run, which then could get him to fall in love with this team and fall in love with the city if the Eagles make a playoff run, and then maybe you re-sign him next year. So I'm still very intrigued by a potential Le'Veon Bell trade. But again, with this situation, there's a lot of complexities. There's a lot of factors that go into this, and it's something that Howie Roseman, again, he's got to weigh the pros and the cons and the risks and the rewards of a potential Bell trade. But I do think he'll be available, and I do think that if they make the trade for him, his rights, particularly right now, it's still something that, to me, is worth it, because I don't think there's any way he doesn't report at all this year. Because, again, if he doesn't report, he loses all his player power next year, because the team can just tag him again this year, and he can't cash in on free agency in the 2019 offseason. Let's take a break. One more to wrap up Locked On Eagles. When we come back, some more players to keep an eye on tomorrow. So we've mentioned Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson. Who are some other names to keep an eye on that could be potentially traded to the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow by the 4 o'clock NFL trade deadline? That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Louis DiBiase here, joining you on segment 3 of today's October 29th edition of the show. Today is Monday, and we are talking NFL trade deadline, specifically the Eagles, with Trader Howie back in the front office right now. You got to think, even as I'm doing this podcast, he's probably working the phones. He lives for this kind of stuff. You got to think Howie Roseman lives for the NFL trade deadline, especially with so many notable names potentially on the market. Howie's got to be, you know, licking his lips right now. He's got to be salivating at the opportunity to add a big fish, or even just, look, it doesn't have to be some other names to look out for. That's what we're getting into. It doesn't have to be LeSean McCoy, although I think it's very possible it still is McCoy. And I know there was the report that the Bills are not expected, and this was by Adam Schefter, also by Pro Football Talk. The Bills are not expected to move LeSean McCoy. I think that's hogwash. Yes, I said hogwash. I think it's hogwash. I think it's a move to gain leverage, to raise the asking price, because the Bills apparently a couple weeks ago were asking for more than a second round pick. But I heard Kevin Massari, Locked On Bills, he said that he heard from someone, and he didn't say who, sources, I'll respect it, that tonight is an audition for some of these Bills players that could be on the open market tomorrow, specifically maybe Kelvin Benjamin, LeSean McCoy. If the Bills lose tonight against the Patriots, and LeSean McCoy has an impressive game, and the Eagles come calling tomorrow to the Buffalo Bills, who only will have two wins at that point, and offer them a second or say a third round pick, I think the Bills eventually do take it. I really do. I think LeSean McCoy still is available. And Kevin Massari said, enjoy tonight's game with the eyes emoji, and he's called it an audition. So he thinks, and I've seen other reports as well, so other rumors, I should say rumors over reports, I've seen other rumors as well, that tonight is a big night for the Bills in the trade deadline. Because again, if they win this football game against the Patriots, which I think is absolutely nuts, if they do win it though, crazy Sean McDermott's going to think the Bills are still in the hunt with Derek Anderson. That is the possibility. So hopefully the Patriots can win tonight, because I'm still all in on a LeSean McCoy reunion or DeSean Jackson. But if it's not one of those guys or Le'Veon Bell, some other guys to take note of, some bigger names. I think Jordan Howard from Chicago could be available. He's averaging under 4 yards a carry right now, but if you really commit to him, get him in Philadelphia with this good rushing offense, with an offensive line that's been really good with the run game, I think Jordan Howard would be a nice addition to this backfield. And the Bears really like Tariq Cohen. Maybe Jordan Howard's a possibility for a third, fourth-round pick. Golden Tate is someone that just popped up today on NFL Network. There was a report that the Lions are only looking for a mid-round pick for Golden Tate. On pace for over 1,000 yards this year, Golden Tate is fast. He could be another vertical threat for you, which the Eagles need. They did have 5 plays of 30 yards or more yesterday against Jacksonville, which is a big step, but they could still use some speed on this offense. Nelson Agholor is a big target down the field, but if you don't get Mike Wallace back this year and he stays on IR, Jordan Matthews, Alshon Jeffery, Zach Ertz, these are big targets that can make plays down the field, and they have, but they don't have that burner, that guy that you see Carson Wentz just cock his arm back and just let it fly, and you can tell the camera's already moving to the left, getting ready, like DeSean Jackson used to do, when you could just tell that they were going deep to him. The Eagles don't have that you know, signature burner on their team. And Golden Tate's not just that. He's a guy that can play in the slot, really good run after the catch type receiver, but that's what the Eagles need right now. They don't have a lot of great run after the catch players. Alshon Jeffery's been a lot better at it this year, and I've been pleasantly surprised with that, and same with Zach Ertz. But outside of Nelson Agholor right now, they don't have that guy. The other players are really, they feed off contact. Their positives, their strengths are not, it's not primarily running after the catch. You know, Josh Adams at running back, even Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement, they're not very explosive down the field. You know, not players that just can break five tackles. Golden Tate's someone that can help in that area. And if it only costs a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick, the Lions do like Kenny Galladay and they like Marvin Jones, that 1-2 punch. Golden Tate's getting paid a decent dollar as well. I think Golden Tate would be a really interesting option here in Philadelphia at wide receiver. Some other notable names, not as big as the guys mentioned, but TJ Yeldon is someone with Jacksonville I mentioned earlier that could be interesting in the backfield. Robbie Anderson with the Jets. Not DeSean Jackson. I'm not going to put disrespect to DeSean Jackson like that, but Robbie Anderson, a similar guy where just down the field, if he really gets rolling with those wheels, he's a dangerous threat. Same with J.J. Nelson of the Arizona Cardinals, who they just simply have not used this year. A potential reunion with LeGarrette Blount. What if they want to release, you know, unleash Kerryon Johnson, who's been really good this year, the rookie out of Auburn? If they want to fully commit to Kerryon Johnson at 3-4 right now with the Lions as well, if the Eagles were offering a pick for LeGarrette Blount to come back to Philly, that's another interesting name to mention. Emmanuel Sanders for Denver was someone linked with the Eagles. That'd be interesting. The Broncos did lose again yesterday against the Chiefs, so that helped if you're someone that wants maybe Emmanuel Sanders or a Shane Ray I put on the list as well, another situational pass rusher that you can add as part of the rotation with Brandon Graham, Chris Long, and Michael Bennett, a former first-round pick. Shane Ray might be someone interesting. And another Bills player tonight that might get moved after this Patriots game, Kyle Williams, the defensive tackle. It's going to be his final season, but because it's going to be his final season, and because the Bills, if they lose tonight, are going nowhere with two wins, maybe they're willing to move on from Kyle Williams for almost nothing, for a 6th or 7th round draft pick, and the Eagles get him for the second half of the season to play next to Fletcher Cox. Because who knows when Timmy Jernigan's going to come back. The Timmy Jernigan situation is, it's a mystery still. There's not a lot of people want to say a lot about it. They don't really want to go in detail about when Jernigan is going to come back. And with Haloti Ngata right now as your other defensive tackle, that's not reliable, considering Ngata, before the Jaguars game, missed the previous 3 games. That would be, like I told Gino yesterday, though, with Kyle Williams and Haloti Ngata, what a old tandem next to Fletcher Cox for a defensive tackle. But for a 6th or 7th round pick, look, I'll take it. One more thing to bring up with this trade deadline thing. The Eagles, to me, are going to be giving up at least one pick for a impactful player by tomorrow. What we haven't considered, and I saw this on Jason Lockenfora's list, and look, these rumors, they're not all factors that you should take seriously. Not every rumor is legitimately coming from a front office. But a lot of them are, like I said earlier in the show. And Jason Lockenfora put on his quarterbacks most likely to be moved, he put Tyrod Taylor there, Cleveland Browns backup, and Nick Foles. I thought about this after seeing that list, and I thought about Jacksonville, who the Eagles just beat. Blake Bortles looked terrible, really, until the 4th quarter when the Eagles just let him get back into that football game. And with the Jaguars struggling now at 3-4, or 3-5? No, 3-4. I think the Jaguars, regardless, they're under 500 now after that loss. Jaguars are, let's see, the Jaguars are 3-5. Yeah, they're 3-5. So that's tough. They're 2 games under 500, but you got to imagine with that defense still, with them coming off an AFC Championship appearance, you got to think that they still want to contend this year. Would they want Nick Foles? Say the Eagles give up a 2nd or 3rd round pick for an offensive player, and you can get back a pick for Nick Foles. Carson Wentz looks healthy and better than he ever has. And I'm still confident Nate Sudfeld is the backup. If you can get a mid-round pick for Nick Foles right now from, say, the Jaguars, like a 4th-round pick, let's do it. I'm all for it right now. And look, the fan in me, it would be tough. It really would. And I, as the analyst, I say confidently that I'm all in on a Nick Foles trade if they can still get a pick for him, especially considering how he played the first 2 games. Not great. Wasn't all his fault with all the injuries, and I thought he played better down the stretch of that Week 2 Tampa Bay game. But 2018 Nick Foles, his value, a lot lower than what 2017, after the Super Bowl Nick Foles, his value was. So if they can still get a pick for it, the analyst in me is saying, yeah, let's do that. But the fan in me is, you know, it is tough, because I'm still kind of celebrating the Super Bowl, and to have him on the roster is still a really cool part of this season, even though he's not playing, and Carson Wentz is amazing, and we're all back on the Wentz wagon, and kind of forgot about Foles. There's a lot of fans still celebrating that championship, including myself, so it is nice to still have him on the roster. So it would be sad. It would be more sad than I expect myself to feel if Foles got moved. But nonetheless, that's something else to keep an eye out for. All of those things, keep an eye out for by tomorrow at 4 o'clock. This deadline is going to get interesting. We'll see what happens. We'll see if Trader Howie can make another move. I'm excited to see what happens, and we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Locked On Eagles, continuing to monitor the trade deadline. If there's a trade, we will have a reaction podcast. Regardless, we're going to be on the airwaves tomorrow and on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. So for myself, Lou DiBiase, signing off. This has been Locked On Eagles. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and let's go Birds.